Mamie, let's start with you. This is the 15th local performance of your production, Our Voices Are Many. Can't believe it.
Yes, it is. I can't believe it either. Although we have not done a performance every single year, this is the 15th performance and about the 7th theme we've done.
Well, let's talk about that theme. It once again focuses on Sons of Africa. This is a program that you debuted, was it in 2012?
2012, July 2012, in an effort to spotlight and highlight the achievements of African-American men. And that's why I'm calling it the Sons of Africa. We're celebrating the faces, voices, and images of black men in America, so that everyone gets a chance to see the many facets of the black male. There is no blueprint for the black male, and I want the audience to leave knowing and understanding that.
And this, of course, was born out of a program that you did focusing on black women, daughters of Africa.
Right, in 2006, and several black men said to me, so when are you going to do a tribute to black men? I said, when you write me a script, I'll put it together for you. Well, I began thinking about it and doing some research and found a great deal of information about black men.
A number of poems, a number
of
songs.
Yes. Essays, speeches. Of course, we have to include the I Have a Dream speech. So we have a number of things. Something on African kings as well. And then I wanted to do something fun. So I have a section called Breezing Brothers, where we show the debonair male, the dresser, the charmer, just the good-looking black man, the cool daddy, the superfly. So we're showing all of these images and faces of black men.
And Mamie, as I understand it, this is one of the largest productions you've done.
Yes. You mean as in the
number of cast,
members. Yes, I call it the cast of thousands because we have almost 100 people participating. I was wrestling with, now how do I involve women in this? Since this is a tribute to black men. So I came up with the idea of a griot chorus, combining the Greek chorus from Greek tragedies with the griot, a West African term, griot, person who is a storyteller, an oral history teller, one who keeps track of the history in the villages and conveys that information to other people. So combining the two, I now have 7 women who are griots. And they comment. They do marginal sideline comments, asides. They sing. They dance. They do a number of things to hold the piece, the performance together. Some people want to call this a play, but there is no plot. There is no setting per se. So it is not a play. It is a theatrical presentation of black history and of black literature. It's staged. That's the way people seem to remember and enjoy our history and our literature.
Well, one of your many terrific performers is with us in studio today. Why don't you give us an introduction for Hazem Abdullah?
Yes, Hazem is a producer, director in his own right. Very talented young man who has a number of parts in Our Voices Are Many. He has always had a number of parts, including emceeing. So he has one in particular, or a couple in particular, that I think stand out as profound. So he's going to do a tribute to Gil Scott Heron. I'm sure most people in the listening audience have heard The Revolution Will Not Be Televised. And I don't know of anyone who can read it any better than Hazem Abdullah.
Well, Hazem, welcome. And is there anything more that you want to say about this piece by Gil Scott Heron before you give us a little excerpt?
The only thing that I would add is that it is a piece that perhaps was one of the early forms of spoken word. And it reminds me of the spoken word that you hear nowadays performed by people throughout the world. And but this was, in fact, a piece that he performed and recorded in the 60s, early 70s.
Okay.
The Revolution Will Not Be Televised by Gil Scott Heron. The Revolution Will Not Be Televised. You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer doing commercials because the revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on 11 o'clock news and no pictures of hairy-armed women liberationists and Jack Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb, Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or the Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, a tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with Coke. The revolution will not fight the germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.
Wow.
Excellent, isn't it? And this comes on the heels of the MLK I Have a Dream speech. So that's the segment in which we talk about revolution and change. What follows that poem is a segment on H. Rapp Brown. So we cover many black men in history.
And since we have Hazem here, he's going to do another little excerpt for us.
Yes, at the beginning of the program, I try to focus on what Henry Louis Gates Jr. calls the paradox of the African-American male. On the one hand, we have the articulate president of the United States who coexists with the criminality element of what many perceive to be the blueprint of a black male. And this takes us to W.E.B. Du Bois, who wrote in 1903, I think is the right year, The Souls of Black Folk. And in that book, he talks about double consciousness, the two-ness of African-Americans. On the one hand, you're a black American. On the other hand, you are an American. You're black and you're American. And he says something to the effect, an American, a Negro, two thoughts, two unreconciled strivings. So then Hazem comes in with a contemporary poem or monologue, I guess we'll call it, called Duality by Daniel Beatty. And it very well illustrates through words and body language, the duality, the two-ness, the schizophrenic existence of African Americans.
So, Hazem, tell us now a little bit more about this before you give us a little taste of this.
Right. It is entitled From Duality, an excerpt from Duality by Daniel Beatty, with some changes in the original language. There is a battle going on inside of me between my well-bred external American persona and the internal force trying to break free, between the American and the Negro in me. The question is, can the American and the Negro exist? They gonna have to, my man. They gonna have to. But Negro, it doesn't make any sense. I didn't spend 4 years in the Ivy Leagues learning how to think, talk, and feel in order to jump into a rage and to get in touch with the other part of my double self, my Negro self. The truth is, man, look here, the truth is, look here, I've always been around. But Negro, all you seem to feel is rage, and that will keep you on the front page of the New York Times and the Daily News. Remember, you are more than that stereotype and that nappy hair. Look here, Negro, please, man, won't you just shut up? You ain't heard a word I said. Hey, without me, there is no you. Be a Negro and an American. Journey to the Negro inside you. Be all of you so we all can heal.
Funny, yes. Yet profound.
Profound and very insightful on the part of Beatty, who I guess originally put this together. It helps us understand in a humorous way what that duality, what that two-ness, what that double consciousness really, really means. We also talk about rage, because in the monologue, Hazem mentioned rage, and there is another segment in which the griots say to the brothers on stage, ain't y'all mad? You ought to be mad, having endured slavery and oppression and being unemployed and underemployed. Ain't y'all mad? And so they respond with a poem by Jean Levine Sanford, who actually is originally from Port Walton Beach. It's called The Rage of the Black Man. So each of the men has a verse in which he says, mad as hell and don't know why. And then Hazem closes with a verse in which he talks about finding the key to his cage so he won't be mad as hell, and he will know why. We cover rage, we cover invisibility, we just cover a number of themes. We cover manhood, how the black male is not necessarily socialized to represent or understand the rhetoric of what manhood really is. What is a man? We do a segment, a scene from Lorraine Hansberry's A Raisin in the Sun. Hazem actually does that. One of the griots says to him, be a man. Do you remember what you said?
Yeah, something to the effect of, man, what do you mean, Mom? And he talks about the job because she says, you know, you have a good job. And he says, well, from Raising the Sun, you know, he says, well, all I do is drive a man around in his car all day. And I say, thank you, sir. Yes, sir. No, sir. Open and close the door. And he says that that's no kind of a job. I don't know if I can make you understand. So that's an excerpt from Raising the Sun.
We have a lot of literary excerpts, a lot of historical excerpts. And it was very difficult trying to determine what to leave in and what to leave out. There is so much information to be compiled and to be heard.
Well, at the end of the day, what would you like individuals who are able to come to the show and see this live performance, what do you want them to take from this?
I think Hazem will agree with me. We want them to take away the understanding, the insight that there is no blueprint for the black male. Black men range from slumlords to African kings to presidents.
And this is something that everybody needs to know.
Yes.
Young black men, black women, and the wider population.
Right. Especially black men, the lost ones. The lost ones who don't understand their history. They don't have the key to their cage. So those are the ones I'd like to see in the audience.
Right. There's quite a bit of history covered in this program, and human beings are peculiar in that we best accomplish when we know what it is that we have done or that we have contributed in the past. We tend to set our goals higher. We tend to think bigger when we realize that we have in the past accomplished great things. And so for certain purposes of those that, in fact, brought us here, a lot of this was kept out away from us, and we were not allowed to read. And our history has, of course, not been supported. The story and the history has not been supported as it should be. And so our voices helps to help bridge that gap and to fill that void.
Maybe this is a free performance.
Yes, indeed, a free performance, but free tickets are required. So you'll need to call 857-6285 to reserve your ticket. And make sure that you're in your seat by 3:45. Start time, show time is 4 p.m. It is Sunday, January 26th, here at UWF in the Center for Fine and Performing Arts, the main stage theater. And we'll begin promptly at 4 o'clock.
And we wanted to note that for those who get their tickets, we want you to come early. But for those who can't get them necessarily, you should show up if you really want to see it, because
exactly.
Those who don't come on time, those seats will be opened up.
Exactly. Yes, please. Please come, because it would be great if we could have a second performance, but we're not sure about that. And we want as many people as possible to see this performance.
Well, Mamie Hickson and Hazem Abdullah, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.